It's kind of a funny thing. I don't mean laughing, I mean strange. I don't understand prayer, to be quite honest with you. I know that our Lord refers to it many times in scriptures. This morning I'd like to consider two different accounts in scripture. If you would open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6. Take one of those offering papers or something and mark that if you would. And then turn to Luke chapter 11. You can take your Bibles and set them down in front of you. My introduction this morning is going to be a little lengthy. I'd like to consider this morning what it is to pray. And Matthew and Luke give an account of two different points in time, yet both events, our Lord speaks almost the exact same words. In Matthew, the Lord was in Galilee in the midst of His preaching. In Luke's account, He was in Judea, and our Lord Himself had just ceased from praying. Folks, I tell you, I don't know about you, but when our Lord says something, I try to pay attention to it the best I can. But when He says it twice, ooh, we really need to pay attention. Now again, I admit, I don't understand the depths of what it is to pray, but I know that our Lord has much to say on this very subject. I know that when a man or a woman come to the point where their life is threatened, put a man in a foxhole. We've all heard this, haven't we? Put a guy in a foxhole and have somebody shoot a gun over his head, he'll start praying. I don't care how atheistic you think you are. Or you get somebody down so deep in desperation. I can't imagine what was going through our brother Lim, what was going through his mind when he took his own life. But I can imagine from what his wife told us about the events that led up to that, the desperation. I've known a few people who have taken their own lives. And each and every time, those around them, close enough to see their actions and their life, will tell you that the desperation is deeper than anything we can understand. All will begin at one time or another to pray to something. Every religion prays to something, don't they? On Facebook the other day, I saw a picture of a tree, and somebody had wrote down this thing next to it, and it had to do with a man who went out into the woods, and he cut down that tree, brought it home, shaved all the branches off of it, cut it up, spent all the time cutting that tree up, splitting it, stacking it up in the house and right outside the door so that he could enjoy the heat of that wood through the winter. And then after he had done all that work, he sat down started whittling himself out something. And once he got that all whittled out, he set it up on the fireplace above that wood that was burning, and he began to pray to it. That's what all the prayers of this world are like, unless you're a child of God. You might as well just pray to a piece of wood, something you've carved with your own hands, something that you've made up with your own imagination. But what is it for a true child of God to pray? In the dictionary, the definition of prayer is defined as worship. To pray to a deity. And the Lord's Word says this. In John 4:24, God is spirit. And they that worship Him must worship in spirit and in truth. Now that word must is important. When our Lord says things like shall, must, those things must happen. Or He's not Lord of all, is He? To worship the true and living God, you must take the words of God such as this, must worship Him in spirit and in truth, must be born again. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. We come to this building that the Lord has provided to hear about a God who truly rules. Especially after walking around out there in the world of all the confusion with lies and you don't know what to believe anymore about anything. How does one who is a true believer, who believes the truth of God's Word, how do we pray? Well, I can tell you this, that to pray to anything other than the true and living God is an abomination and a waste of time, just as it is to pray to that piece of wood on the top of your mountain. And only one who knows this true and living God is heard of God. Like I said, the whole world prays to something. But God doesn't hear the prayers of the wicked. Hear this. Listen to what God's Word says about that. Hear these words, thus saith the Lord in Proverbs 15:8, the sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord. But the prayer of the upright is His delight. Whew, it's pretty harsh. How about Proverbs 15:29? The Lord is far from the wicked, but He heareth the prayers of the righteous. So far I'm not qualifying as far as what I can see in my flesh. Let's try another one. Proverbs 21:27. The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination. How much more when he bringeth it with the wicked mind? Speaking of those who offer up with their wicked mind, their wicked abominations, their wicked worship. In Isaiah 57:21, we hear this, there is no peace, saith God, to the wicked. Now when I say no to those who know the true and living God, there's a lot of people who know about the true and living God. Do you know the devils know who the true and living God is? They said to the Lord, have you come to harass us before our time? They knew who Jesus was. They knew He was the Son of the Most High. And then the Lord commanded them to go off a cliff and enter into a herd of swine and then to go off the cliff, right? Isn't that what it says? Even the devils know our God. When I say no, I mean a heart knowledge. Many know the Lord, many have heard the word of the true and living God, but few know Him personally. Few know Him on a personal level. Few know Him as their personal Savior. The Spirit of God melds with His chosen people in the day of His love. He takes up residence in His elect. All for whom the Son has shed His blood, He gives a new spirit of life. He gives new spiritual ears, and we hear the voice of God through the preaching of His Word. We hear and believe not just the parts that we like, but all of His Word. God's people, those who have been brought to know on a personal level, love to hear the whole counsel of God from the front page all the way to the back. I may not understand everything in this book, but I believe it. We come to see the truths of His Word. The truths about this. My sheep, says the Lord Jesus Christ, hear my voice. We believe His Word because we're His sheep. Because we were chosen from before the world was. That in the day of His love, in the day of His power, He would come to each and every one. And when God comes to the very last one, the very last one for whom He laid down His life for, there's no reason for anything else to go on. The Lord will return. As He has promised, He'll return. And we'll be with Him in eternity forever. Sharon is with Him right this very moment. To be absent from the flesh is to be present with the Lord. He said to the thief on the cross, He didn't say, you're going to go somewhere and wait for me, or someday I'll come to you again. He said, no, today you shall be with me in paradise. My sheep hear my voice and I know them. I know them. Christ knows everybody. He knows everything. But He knows you and I personally. He has to know us personally to have taken all of our sin upon Him, does He not? Can there be any other conclusion than that? He knows our every thought, our every action, our every desire of the heart. He knows personally. He goes on to say, and they follow me. Irresistible grace. By His grace, He called Lazarus from the dead, and Lazarus came forth without hesitation. By His grace and His power of love, He passed by men on the seashore and said, come, follow me. And they left everything and followed Him. By His power and His love, He brought each and every one of you to a church where you would hear the gospel of the true and living God preached. And He said, come, follow me. And what did we do? We followed Him. Irresistible grace. Speaking with Roger and Cheryl and Mike Lovelace in our Friday night Bible study, talking about how the Lord called us out of darkness. I love to hear the stories of men and women and how the Lord called them out. How they left those other religions behind when they first heard the word of truth. You see, God's children will not go back to what it was before. Once you've heard the truth, the power of God will keep you there if you're one of His. I will give unto them, He says in verse 28, eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Isn't that what God's Word says? They'll never go back. I'll never go back to the religion of John Reeves and how the world was all about him. Why? Because my Lord is the Jesus Christ. My Lord is the Lord Jesus Christ. He says in verse 29, my Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. You see, folks, we come to see the truths of who the Son of God truly is. We must worship Him in spirit and in truth. And who He truly is. We come to see the truth that all the fullness of the Godhead dwelleth in Him bodily. Look at verse 30 of Luke chapter 11. Wait a minute. Did I skip something? What did I do here? Let's keep going. We come to see the truths of who the Son of God truly is. We come to see all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. We come to see that salvation is of the Lord. And then we come to see that He is Lord of all. We come to see that our only uprightness, our only righteousness, is His righteousness imputed to us. As we read in 2 Corinthians 5:21, for He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. We come to see the grace of God for what it truly is, as we read in 1 Corinthians 4:7, for who maketh thee to differ one from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now if thou didst receive it, why dost thy glory as though thou hast not received it? We see that it is by His grace that we have received anything. That's why we sing the song, Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound. In Ephesians 2:1, we read this way, and you hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin, where in times past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince and the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Who makes us to differ from those who walk this earth? Who makes us to differ from those who will go into that door marked death and pass on into into hell, into the pit of fire? It is our Lord and our Savior who is gracious to us. For as all men, we walked as children of disobedience. It says so in verse 2 of chapter 3 of Ephesians, verse 3 of chapter 2 of Ephesians, among whom also we have all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But oh, to hear these words, but God who is rich in mercy. God who is rich in mercy for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, and hath quickened us together with Christ, by grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us to sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now I've said all that to lay this table. What a privilege. What a privilege it is to come to God in prayer. But not just to come to the true and living God, but to be heard of Him. When we first cried out, mercy, Lord, have mercy on me. The only reason we cried out is because God gave us life to do so. You see, salvation is of the Lord. Even our crying out for God to have mercy on our souls is by the grace of God. What a privilege that we have to come to God in prayer, to be heard of the true and living God. Look with me, if you will, at our text in Luke chapter 11. Beginning at verse 1. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And then in verse 2, he says this unto them, when ye pray, say, Our Father. Now let's stop there for just a moment. Our Father. Folks, we have been made. That's right, made. The sons and daughters of the Most High. Our Lord is the potter of all things. And by His grace, He has made some vessels unto dishonor and some vessels unto honor. Those who are made unto honor shall come to the Lord, as it says, and all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And they shall hear His voice. We hear the voice of God because He called us. And because of that, He can say, along with myself, as I call Him Father, you call Him Father also. Think back to when you were young children. Some of you may not have great fond memories of who your father was, but did you not always look to him and call him Father? Our Father, the Lord says. Sons and daughters of the Most High, John 1:12, we read it this way, but as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. In Romans 8:14, we read it this way, for as many as are led of the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. In Galatians 4:3 through 4:7, we read it this way, even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Oh. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ Jesus the Lord. We cry out. We pray to our Father in heaven as our Lord and Savior prayed in the 17th chapter of John. And then next we see in that verse 2, Hallowed be thy name. Holy is the Most High. Truly righteous is all thy doings, is what the servant David said. Then we see thy kingdom done. Or thy kingdom come. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, is what the Lord says. That's the kingdom of God. All of His people, spending eternity. Today thou shalt be with me in paradise, is what the Lord said to that thief on the cross. And then we read, Thy will be done. In Isaiah 46:11, yea, I have spoken it, I will also bring it to pass, I have purposed it, I will also do it. Folks, the Lord God Almighty is sovereign in everything. Thy will be done. Did you know that the Lord Jesus Christ Himself submitted to the will of the Father? Before He went to that cross, He cried out, Lord, if it be possible, may this cup pass me by. That's the burden of our sin that was laid upon Him. He who is so holy that He cannot even look upon sin took our sins upon Himself. And the burden of that sin made Him cry out to His own Father, Father, if it be thy will. Nevertheless, thy will be done, he said. He knew he had to go to the cross. Yea, I have spoken it. I will also bring it to pass. I have purposed it. I will also do it. Not just in heavenly places, but in all that is, even so in the earth. Philippians 2:9, we read this, wherefore God hath also highly exalted him, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in the earth and things under the earth. Next, let's look at verse 3. Give us day by day our daily bread. Can anybody here go for very long without eating? I last 4 hours. That's it. And if I get in my truck and start driving my truck, I last about 10 minutes. We got to have food. You ever watch one of those shows where they put people out in the middle of the wilderness and they have to figure out how to survive out there with nothing but a pocket knife and a string? It's interesting. You see them come on to the first days and they'll be like, you know, normal people. You know, a little puffy on the cheeks. They're okay. You know, they're not overweight or anything, but, you know, they're not thin either. There's this one where they got to go 100 days, and the one who makes it the 100 days gets $1 million. Well, they don't eat very well when you're out there and there's no Safeway down the street to go to. And by the end of the time of the show, when it's all done after their season, they're all losing 40 to 50 pounds. If you don't eat, you're going to shrivel up and die. Give us day by day our daily bread. Folks, you and I need the Lord Jesus Christ day by day by day by minute by minute by minute. Oh, how often we've taken our sorrows and our troubles and put them at the feet of Jesus and left it there. Every time I do, I walk away feeling fed. Every time I hear the Word of God preached, I feel like I've been fed, because it takes my eyes off of the things in the world and brings my eye to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why we go to a church where Christ and Him crucified is preached. Instead of that big one down there in Roseville, that all they want to preach about is the ambulance that the kids raised enough money for down there in Mexico. Or like that one up in Pollock Pines that wants to preach about what St. Patrick did and all the Catholic churches that he started. That doesn't do me any good. Christ Jesus and Him crucified is what does me good. What about you? What about you? Our bread is the bread of life. The manna that came down from heaven for Israel was a picture of our bread of life. Our daily sustenance, our nourishment, that which sustains us and gets us through our daily walk. John 6:35, we read it this way, and Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. The very fact that we'll come to this table in a very short time is that picture of that very thing. We feast on Christ. It's what gets us through this life as we walk through the valley of the shadow of death and we commit our sin and we go on about our way. And we're reminded by looking to God's Word that it is not the works of men. We cannot have any confidence in our flesh. Our confidence is in what He has done. looking to the bread of life. Look at verse 4. And forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Don Fortner wrote this about this forgiving part. We must never forget the next line of this sentence. Forgive us our sins, for we forgive everyone that is indebted to us. This is the only line in this passage that our Lord expands and explains. He does so because this is the part that we are most apt to overlook. Turn over to Matthew now. Matthew chapter 6. This is what Don is writing about, expanding in those very words. Look at verses 14 through 15. And if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Now before you go too far in thinking that, listen to this. Our Lord here teaches us that if we are unforgiving, we are yet unforgiven. That's what it's teaching. If we are not gracious, it is because we have not yet experienced grace. He's not suggesting that the forgiveness of sin is conditional upon sinners forgiving one another. He is simply declaring that grace experienced in the soul makes saved sinners gracious to another, one to another. Does that mean we're going to be gracious every time? No. If you say you have no sin, then you call God a liar. But you do come to know that when you are gracious, it's because the Lord is gracious to you. It's not John Rees being a good guy and saying, oh, that's okay. It's God Almighty inside of John Rees saying, I was gracious to you. And I see His graciousness to me, so therefore I can turn to those who have sinned against me and say, okay, that's all right. No big deal. Everything's by His hand, and it's for my good. We must especially remember this, goes on Don Fortner, that our Lord teaches us constantly to acknowledge our sinfulness and constantly seek forgiveness through His blood. We are to confess our sins continually, not in the ear of an earthly priest, but in the ear of our Father who is in heaven, seeking forgiveness by the merit of our great high priest who is in heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. Lord, you got no reason to forgive John for anything other than for what your Son has done for me. Christ is our atonement. The triune Jehovah freely forgives our debts through the merits of Christ our Lord. Yet though the work was finished in the purpose of God from the foundation of the world, and finished in the execution and the purpose of our Lord and Savior at Calvary, we constantly need forgiveness because we constantly sin. And we constantly have that forgiveness through infinite perpetual merit and the efficacy of Christ's blood. End of Don's quote. Now here in Matthew, we also see a detail of what not to do. Look with me, if you would, at verses 1 through 15 of chapter 6. Our Lord and Savior says this to each and every one of us. Take heed that ye do not your alms before men to be seen of them, otherwise ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. I didn't see it, but there was a young man several months back came to visit us. And it disturbed a couple of people here who did see it to a great extent. He walked to the back of the church turned around and did this in front of everybody. And then walked out. And we haven't seen him since, so I don't know what that was all about. But that's what this is talking about. It's talking about those who give thinking, look what I have done. Look what I'm giving. See, I'm a good person. I'm giving to the church. But that's exactly why I've said over and over again, God's people, we don't expect anybody to give who does not have a giving heart that was given to them by the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord will move His people. Take heed that ye do not your alms before men to be seen of them, otherwise ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Verse 2, therefore when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth. You know what I see when I read that? John sees himself doing this over here. He's going to start bragging about it with this over here. I'm that weak. I really am. But by God's grace, I don't look at what this is. Because I know this will start bragging. Verse 3, but when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. Verse 5, and when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard, for there is much speaking. But not ye therefore like unto them. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask of him. After this manner, therefore pray ye, our Father, which is in heaven, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from the evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Now let's look. Let us close with one more example of a true child of God in his way of praying. Turn with back to Luke, if you would. And this time look with me at chapter 18. Back in the book of Luke, once again. Chapter 18. Luke chapter 18, verse 9. And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. Notice that he prayed thus with himself. This confirms what I was saying earlier. The Lord Jesus Christ does not hear the prayers of the wicked. This man was praying just like anybody else that would have prayed to a wooden idol. He was praying to himself, to the pride of himself. God, I thank thee. Now listen to this. God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are. Thank you, Lord, that I'm not as bad as all those other people out there. I know I sin a little bit, but I'm not as bad as some of the people out there. Thank you, Lord, that I'm not as them, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican over here who is just over there in the corner. Here's how good I am. I fast twice a week. I give tithes for all that I possess. And then he talks about one of God's children who pray this way. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. How often do you pray that prayer? I do all the time. Shamefully, admittedly, I do it more than once a day most of the time. Lord, be merciful to me for what I just thought a moment ago. One who knows the true and living God knows the holiness of God. And when you know the holiness of God, you can see nothing in this flesh but sin. I heard it said this way. The true child of God is the most happiest, sad person there is on this earth. Sad about the flesh, but happy about grace. You see, God's grace is bigger than anything that is of me. He's God. I tell you this, says our Lord Jesus Christ in verse 14. This man went down to his house justified rather than the other, for everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Child of God, how do we pray? We pray with this mind in us. Ephesians 2 verse 8, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Amen.